The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse 57. We have been here looking at these three would-be followers of Jesus. Today we're looking at the final one. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. I want to talk to you today about don't be half-hearted. So let's stand together. It's page 843 in your pew Bible. Page 843, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, we begin reading in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." God bless you and God bless the reading of His Word. Many products today offer a 30-day free trial of their product. If you place the order and give them your credit card number, they'll ship you the product. You can try it, see if you like it. If you like it, they're going to start charging your card and they'll just keep shipping it to you. If you don't like it, you can simply cancel the product and hopefully you're out of nothing. Our text today revolves around a man who wanted to try it out, who wanted to see if being a disciple was really meant for him. He was willing to follow Jesus. But first, he wanted to go home to his family and say goodbye to them. He wanted their opinion. He wanted them to know the decision he had made and what he was going to do. But Jesus says to him, "You can't go home. There's no try it out time to be my follower." Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. Ahead of him is a cross. Ahead of him is death. Ahead of him is the end of his earthly life. And so Jesus is saying to this man, "You don't have time to go home and discuss this with your family. You don't have time to go home and see if they think this is a wise choice on your part, or maybe you're being a little emotional, and maybe you just need to wait it out a little bit. Just follow Jesus, but don't make a real fast and true commitment." Jesus doesn't have time at the time in which we're reading this for this man to go home and take the time to discuss it with his family. We have to be careful with following Christ half-heartedly. It's very easy if we follow him half-heartedly to lose our focus. Jesus referred to this in the very last thing he said to this would-be follower. He said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In other words, Jesus is saying to him, once you make the decision, you're in it. There's no looking back and reconsidering. There's no trying to decide if this is something you would like to do. You have made a choice. You have made a commitment. You have said, "As for me, I am going to follow God." And Christ is saying to this man, there is no looking back. You have to keep your focus. I think about this farming analogy that Jesus is talking about. At that time, they didn't have tractors and combines and harvesters. They walked behind a donkey. They walked behind an ox. They were plowing oftentimes with just a single plow. And Jesus is saying to this man, being part of the kingdom of God encompasses putting your eyes on an immovable object. He's saying to him, as you're plowing the fields, you can't be watching a cow. You can't be watching a crow in the field. You can't put your eye on a stalk of corn that's moving back and forth. You can't put your eye on the branch of a tree that's down at the end of the road that's being moved back and forth by the wind. You have to focus on something that, regardless of what is going around on around it, does not move. An immovable object. He could not vacillate. Sometimes when I'm driving and Sherry and I are in the car, I'll be talking to her and I'll say to her, you know, I'm not just watching the road. Particularly when we're coming to church, because there's a certain place near just before we get to Centerville Road where we'll oftentimes on the right-hand side see deer or see turkeys. And we always get to that section and I start looking over there to see if I can be the first one to say, look, there they are. And sometimes in doing so, the wheel begins to follow my eyes. And the car begins to move over, and all of a sudden we hear a bum, 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 and Sherry will say, honey, watch out. And that means get your eyes back on the road. Get your eyes on something that's immovable. Don't lose your focus. Don't get your eyes off on something over here that before long you find your life is moving in a direction that you say, this really, you look back later and say, that really wasn't the direction I wanted to go. I don't know how I got there. It's because we lost focus. As Christ followers, Jesus says to us that we belong to Him. And as such, He is Lord. And as such, He is the one who guides our life. He is the one who directs our life. He is the one who tells us this is the way. Paul said it in Romans chapter 14, verse 8. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I have to keep my focus on Christ. I have to keep my focus on the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. Not a religion, not a denomination, not a group, not a building, not a following. I have to keep my focus on Jesus Christ. Where is He going? What is He doing? And regardless of what is going on in my peripheral vision, regardless of how loudly it cries and how much I want to turn and look at it, I have to keep my focus on the one immovable object in the world in which we live, and that is Jesus Christ. And if I lose my focus, if I lose my focus upon who I'm looking at, it begins to affect me emotionally. It affects me spiritually. It affects me physically. It affects me in every area of my life. I find that my emotions and how I feel are no longer being dictated by the one, this immovable object, but now they're being dictated by someone over here or something over here. And by doing so, I turn the ownership of my life over to this group, over to this person, over to this ideology, over to this political platform. And now my identity moves from him to them. And them are going to disappoint you. And because Christ has placed a claim on my life, I am accountable to Him. I am one day going to give an account to God for how steadfast was I in keeping my eyes on that immovable object. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then each of us will be accountable to God. Every one of us are one day going to stand before God, and we will give an account of how did my life line up with the immovable object. Where did I take control of the steering wheel? Where did I get my eyes off the immovable object onto something over here? And before long, this is my concentration. This is my conversation. This is my thought. This is what keeps me up at night. This is where I'm going. And I get my eyes off that immovable object. When I get my eyes over here or over there, the peace begins to leave my life. The joy begins to leave my life. I need to start taking Sherry's blood pressure medication. All these things begin to change because I have lost sight of the immovable object. I'm now looking back. And when I lose sight of the immovable object, not only do I lose focus, but it brings about, as I've mentioned, instability in my life. Jesus was calling this man to visualize the eternal. Jesus understood that if you go home to tell your family goodbye, Uncle Bob is going to want to sit down with you and say, "Now, son, let me ask you a question. You know, if your daddy was around, he'd ask you this, but I feel like I need to ask this. How much money are you going to make following Jesus? Does Jesus have a 401k plan? Does Jesus have retirement? Does Jesus have health insurance? Aunt Clara's going to be there, and she's going to say, you're going to miss all the family reunions because you're going to be gone. His mama is going to sit down with him and say, son, if you leave me, who's going to take care of me? And what do you know about this Jesus? Who is he? Jesus understood that if you go home, you're going to hear all those voices and your heart is going to begin to turn away from me and your heart is going to be turned toward trying to please people and trying to make people happy and trying to do the things they want you to do. And one is saying go and another one saying stay and another one saying run and another one saying stop. This one is saying stand, this one's saying sit and on. And Jesus realized that if you go home and discuss this with your family, you'll never come back. Make the decision now and make the decision by saying, I'm not looking back. I'm not going back. I am visualizing the eternal. I am visualizing that which will not move regardless of what happens. And this is my focus. You know, we've all visited the optometrist, you know, that when they examine your eyes and they put that big thing in front of your eyes and the optometrist starts flipping the dial, you know, and tell me which is better, A or B, B or A or C, B or C. And they're flipping it so fast that you're trying to keep up with it because they're trying to find what setting gives you the best focus. But the only way they know to do that is to keep changing the focus. This has been a year in which it has been very easy to lose our focus. Between coronavirus, between the rioting, between the presidential election, between what is going on right now with vote recounts and one of them saying I've won and the other one saying you haven't won, and what's going on in our world, and what's going on in the lives of our family. You know, we went through not being able to see anybody in the hospital. We went through not being able to visit anybody in a retirement center or a rehab center. We went through not being able to go to funerals. A few months ago at Bob Fraser's funeral, the funeral director met me at the cemetery and she said, now, Pastor, don't be surprised if the police don't show up. Because if there are more than 10 people here, they will stop and ask people to go home. And we're standing there at Roselawn Cemetery and I'm getting ready to get up and start the service. And a police car pulls up and he stops, or it stops. And the policeman sits in there for probably 30, 45 seconds, and then they slowly drove off. I have a good friend. He and I have lunch once a month. His wife has Alzheimer's disease. She's in a memory care place. He sat one day with me at lunch crying, and he said, by the time I finally get to see her, she won't know who I am. And I had lunch with him Friday. And he said, I go see her every morning on the way to work. I go by and see her every night. He said, she doesn't even know who I am. That's what we've gone through this year. This has been a year in which it has been very easy to look at heaven and say, God, do you see what we see? Do you see what we see? Do you see, God, the people around the world that are starving because they can't even go out of their house to buy food? Do you see, Lord, the tears? Do you hear the cries? Or do you see these things, God? It's been very easy for us to listen to the news, and before long, we're down in the dumps. We're depressed. We're feeling like this is never going to end. We'll never come out of this. And I am so tired of hearing people say, we're all in this together. We're not. We're not in this together. You don't know what I'm going through. Don't sit on television while you're in Hollywood and tell me we're all going through this together. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox. Now you know why Sherry and I are watching a lot of HGTV. It'd be very easy to lose heart, to lose faith, to lose focus. We have people who are afraid to go out of their homes. Because we've been told, if you're a certain, you know, you're in that age group, we've been told that COVID is a death sentence. We've had to deal with all these different things. We've been told you can go out, and then we're being told, well, maybe you can't go out. We've been told a mask will stop it. Then we're told a mask really doesn't do all that. We don't know who to listen to or what to do. Be very easy for us to lose our focus, to lose our stability, to lose our heart. But I'm reminded of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning verse 16. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And I love this part. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We have to decide, what am I going to look at? What am I going to focus? What is going to captivate my heart, my mind, my emotions, my thoughts? What's it going to be? Is it going to be that which passes away, or is it going to be that immovable object that said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away? Am I building on the rock, or am I building my foundation on that which is one day going to be swept away? We do not lose heart, Paul said. Outwardly things look bad, but inwardly, because we are focusing on that which is eternal, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. The writer of Hebrews said this in chapter 12, verse 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And listen to this part, Homer Eaton, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. And in that same, in chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews said this, yet at the present world we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus. We do see Jesus. The writer of Hebrews is saying there's coming a day in which every kingdom and every voice and every demonic spirit that raises itself up against the name of Jesus Christ will one day be made his footstool. And Paul said it hasn't happened yet, but we do see Jesus. We live in a world that is filled with problems and pain, but we keep looking at Jesus. Moses saw the immovable object. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because, and I love this part, he saw him who is invisible. He didn't fix his eyes on the problem. He didn't fix his eyes on what Pharaoh might do. He didn't fix his eyes on the might of the Egyptian army. He didn't fix his eyes on God. How am I going to feed all these people? How am I going to lead all these people? How are we going to water all these people? What am I going to do? No, he saw someone that no one else saw. He saw someone who was invisible, and he fixed his eyes on that person. What you're focusing on today, what is in your line of vision, determines everything that is going on in your life. It determines how you respond to everything that goes on in your life. Hebrews 12, verse 26 and 27. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. And listen, this is a prophetic word that we're seeing take place. Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken. That is created things. The writer of Hebrews says the created things, everything we know is going to be shaken. We're already seeing it. Who would have thought last year that you'd turn on the television to watch a football game between Michigan State and Iowa, and the announcer would say the only fans allowed in today were the family members of the football team? We're used to turning on the television. There's 80,000 people sitting in a game. He said everything that is created is going to be shaken. But then he said this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks. C.S. Lewis gave us the following insight as I'm closing. He said this, our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. And then he said this, we are far too easily pleased. This week, I read a quote by Glenn Beck, and you may not like Glenn Beck and his political view. You may not like the fact that he's a Mormon. He was being interviewed on Monday before the election, so he was not making a comment based upon the outcome of the election. But he said this, and I think it is true. And I quote, we're going to face some of the toughest times, I think, in all of Christianity in the next few years. Prepare yourself for that and know what you stand for and what you believe in. You know what he was saying? Get your eyes on an immovable object. This is not the time to be losing focus. This is not the time to be following what someone else is telling you. This is the time in which we as a church and we as believers have got to say, I am looking for that one who is invisible. All everything outside may be shaking, but my heart is set. I have decided that I'm following Jesus. Jesus said to this man, don't look back. Don't look back. And I believe what God is saying to us today is this. Don't look back. Don't let COVID, don't let rioting, don't let sorrow, pain, grief, unanswered questions, don't let an election, don't let this cause you to lose focus. Keep your eyes on an immovable object. Heavenly Father, You know, in our world today, Lord, there are so many voices clamoring for our attention. There are so many voices that are crying out, look over here, look at this. Turn your attention over here. Focus on this. Gravitate toward this. Lord, you're not calling us to stick our heads in the sand, but you are calling us to keep our eyes on you, to recognize that we cannot put our hand to the plow and look back. So, God, today, I'm asking you to stir our hearts with a hunger and a thirst for you like we have never known before. I'm asking you, Lord, to shake us out of prayerlessness. I'm asking you, Father, to stir our hearts so we go back to the Word. We go back to your promises. We go back to see, what did Jesus say? We got our eyes once again focused upon the immovable object that will never pass away. The stable object that will not be shaken. The immovable object that will be immovable regardless of what a Supreme Court does, regardless of what a Congress does, regardless of what the White House does, regardless of what a ruler in the world does, that immovable object will never change. Oh Lord, help us today to get our eyes back on you, to get our focus back on you. If need be, Lord, to cut off the source of those other voices, to take them off our phone, to take them off our tablet, until we get our focus back on you. And teach us, Lord, how to keep it there. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your hymnals, turn to page